Hello and welcome to the No BS Approach to Motherhood podcast, hosted by Catherine Hay and Shelley McKenzie. We are both mothers and clinical nutritionists who specialize in women's health. We are here to not only bring you the most up-to-date nutritional and health advice when it comes to fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and children's nutrition, but our main goal is to break through the BS that can come with motherhood. No topic is off limits, so grab a cuppa or a glass of wine and join us for another raw and real conversation surrounding motherhood.
Today's episode is proudly brought to you by Sleepy Bellies, the ultimate maternity pillow that comes with three detachable pieces designed to provide the optimal support to your back and bump throughout the entire pregnancy.
Sleep when you're pregnant can be so challenging, to say the least. I honestly would have chosen, and maybe still would choose, my Sleepy Bellies pregnancy pillow over my husband in bed. This pillow was honestly the best in pregnancy and postpartum and finally allowed me to get a decent night's sleep.
Sleepy Bellies is recommended by midwives, physios, osteos, and women's health nurses. And besides getting a good night's sleep, the next best thing about it is Sleepy Bellies offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. So don't just take our word for it. Try it risk-free.
Simply head to sleepybellies.com.au or follow the link in our show notes to grab yours today.
So today we have my dear friend, client, Kay Cattle on, and we are talking all about the two-week wait because there's so many layers to the two-week wait on the conception journey. So, Kate, can you please introduce yourself and we'll go from there.
Hi, ladies. I'm very excited to be here. It's been a long time since I've done a podcast interview or any type of podcasting. So I guess to give a little bit of an introduction, I mean, there's so much. Like, do you want me to start with the day I was born or like, where do we begin? I was previously a conception and pregnancy coach, and I worked in that space for about 8 years. And, you know, I think that's kind of part of why I'm here. But the way that I was led into that was through my own journey of challenges through conception. So I was diagnosed with endometriosis about 2 weeks after I got engaged to my now husband. I think I was about 24 at the time. And ever since then, I have navigated challenges with endometriosis, infertility, which I say that really, I don't like that word. I feel like it's a really icky word and it's not empowering. But challenges with fertility through that time and many ups and downs associated with that. So my work as a conception coach was very much focused on the emotional side of conception, which if you are in this space, which I'm guessing most of your listeners are, or it's something that is on their radar, you know how big the emotional burden is of conception. And even, you know, I mean, that's the beginning of it, right? Like the conception part is the beginning. And then from there, you know, it just continues and it becomes, it's a big phase of our lives that can have a huge emotional impact. So my coaching work was very focused in that space. And I had a podcast, which is still live, the Awaken Pregnancy podcast, where I spoke a lot about supporting yourself and getting the right support network around you from an emotional perspective through that journey. So now I guess where I'm at the moment is I'm not coaching. I have taken a break from work for the first time in my life, and it's taken a few months to wind down, but I'm really enjoying the privilege of being able to do that for a little while. And Catherine knows that my hormones like that at the moment. So that's where I'm at the moment, but I'm still very passionate about this space. And we are hoping to conceive again. We have a son now, which I can go more into our story at some point, but we have got a son now who's in school and we would really like to have another. And yeah, that's kind of where we're at. But I guess my intention in being here today is to really support women going through the challenges and the struggles that come with extended conception, fertility treatment, you know, things not necessarily going the way you thought they would when you decided that you wanted to start a family. So I'm hoping that I can really offer a bit of love and support and some practical tips as well.
Yeah. And this is why I was so excited to get you on, Kate, because I feel trying to conceive and conception, the two-week wait, and especially if you're on an extended conception journey, like you mentioned, there's so many emotions and anticipation, grief, fear, anxiety, happiness. All of those can be experienced, especially in this 2 week wait. So let's actually unpack the 2 week wait. Let's talk about that. No one really talks about it unless you're in it and you know, and you've been in it for a long period of time. And all of those emotions you can literally experience every minute of the day, and they're changing because of the emotional toll it can have on you. So shed some light around the 2 week wait for us, what it involves, emotions that change, tools and techniques that can be really helpful during the 2 week wait. Let's go into that.
Yeah, amazing. So I think you really hit the nail on the head that it is very up and down. And, you know, it's, I guess I really want to normalize that is completely okay for you to go from one extreme to the other. And to, you know, to envisage, you know, this life with this potential child, and then to go to the other side of the spectrum where you're like, why am I even doing this? This is too hard. I don't want to do this. It's breaking me. You know, I think it's really, really normal to feel those things. I also think it's important that we're aware that feeling our emotions to both sides of the spectrum, we don't actually have to act on that information. You know, when we're really heightened or we're really low, we don't actually need to make big choices, and we really shouldn't make big choices in those spaces. So if you are finding that the 2 week wait is a time where life feels very tumultuous, I think the most important thing firstly is that's okay, and try not to have to make big choices in that time. You know, really give yourself grace in that. It is hard, and it's allowed to be hard, and you don't need to push yourself through that. You know, you can really honor yourself. But do you know, I actually feel like the way to get through the 2 week wait gently and kindly for yourself is actually to start your preparation on day one of your cycle. You know, that tends to be the part, whether you're doing fertility treatment or not, that first 2 weeks tends to be the part that is easier. And I say that from my own experience. You know, I have been trying to get pregnant for the better part of 12 years. And I have had a lot of 2 week waits in my life, and some of them have been, or many of them have been, natural cycles. And then there have also been many that have been IVF and IUI. So I do speak from the experience of, you know, those different avenues of conception. The most important thing you can do to support yourself through the 2 week wait is start your self-care from day one of your cycle. So what that looks like is going to be different for everyone. I think, you know, when you come to conception, we all don't arrive here thinking, oh, this is going to take years, or this is going to take, you know, everyone arrives at the decision to conceive, or the majority. You know, some people are aware they have some challenges from the get-go, but the majority of people arrive at conception with the perspective of, we're just going to get pregnant and we're going to have a baby. And that's beautiful. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's beautiful. That's how we want it to be. It's okay. But for some of us, it actually goes from being this perception of it being a sprint to being, you know, more of a marathon of like, I've got to pace myself for this. I can't go all in and hard out from the get-go. I really need to pace myself. And the best way to do that, I believe, is to support your emotional well-being, because the two reasons that I have seen for people to stop trying to get pregnant is because they've run out, or they just have decided they can't continue to pour into it in that way, or their emotional well-being is so broken that they just can't put themselves through it anymore. And, you know, the interesting thing is we rarely go to emotional support as part of our conception plan. You know, we hear the things of like, we need to reduce stress and all these things, and, you know, meditate and journal, but they're actually so important, and they're not the things that you're going to get. Like, you might get some guidance from your nutritionist or your naturopath. Your doctor might say, yeah, I've heard acupuncture is good. You might get some of that, but those areas of expertise, it doesn't belong to those practitioners. So, you know, I personally believe that we either need to have a support team around us in an emotional capacity, if that's an option for you. And if not, then you need to create that with your friends and family. So what that looks like, supporting yourself from day one, for me personally, journaling, meditation, having time in nature are the three most important things for me to support my emotional well-being. I know that if I can commit to that from day one of my cycle, that it supports me into that 2 week wait. If you try to start it when you start to get, you know, the twitches of uncomfortable in that 2 week wait, it's not going to help. It's not going to help you. You know, if you decide to start meditating in that 2 week wait and you find it difficult, I'm not surprised. You've picked a really hard point in your life to attempt something new. So, you know, I think having a plan in place from day one, laying that foundation to carry you through that 2-week wait and to support yourself. If you've got tools to process your emotions, they don't feel as scary when they feel big and overwhelming. So yeah, as far as the 2-week wait, I think give yourself permission for it to be big, allow yourself to feel the spectrum of emotions and have your tools to support yourself and start them on day one of your cycle or, you know, in that first 2 weeks. Start them when it's smoother and simpler. And, you know, those 2 weeks are very practical, you know, like if you're on fertility treatments, like, right, 8 o'clock, got to do my needles, you know, like it's very easy to check those boxes. When that all goes out the window and 2 weeks is just like floating in the abyss, it's really great to have those practices to ground you and bring you back down to earth and help you to really move through what you're feeling.
Kate, your perspective on this is stunning.
Thank you. I was really good at my job. Like, I will toot my horn.
I can hear that, honestly. Like, hearing you talk about that, I mean, Cappy and I harp on all the time about the effects of stress on one's fertility, and hearing you saying to really start that self-care early on from day one of your cycle, like, it is so important to counteract, obviously, those effects of stress and obviously whatever you're going through within that 2-week wait. I just want to throw in there as well, because I think often when we talk about self-care, it's one thing that us modern women, we're not great at prioritizing. So I like to habit stack. Habit stacking is when you figure out what brings you joy, I guess, and what helps to decrease your stress, and you stack it on top of an already existing habit. So if you know that you're going to be able to do your injection at 8 p.m., then after that, you go straight into a meditation. You know what I mean? Like,
it's honestly the best tactic, and it helps you remember too.
Yeah, because it is. It's one of those things when we talk about self-care, I just feel like, I mean, I see it in clinic all the time. Cappy, you would, and Kate, you used to, no doubt, is that, yeah, us women, particularly if there is children involved as well, we just don't really get there a lot of the time. But as you said, it's so important.
And, you know, I think we forget how good we're meant to feel. Like, I forgot how good I was meant to feel. Like, it was not that long ago that I was sitting in front of Catherine crying, saying, help me. Like, I've forgotten what it feels like to thrive. And, you know, I'm in a different stage right now of motherhood. You know, my son he's just turned 6. But we forget how good we're meant to feel. And if we're not doing the practices regularly, it's forgotten, right? So, but it doesn't take long to remember. You know, it really doesn't. A few days of doing some really beautiful things for yourself to nourish your soul, and you remember, oh, wow, that actually feels really nice, and that's really worthwhile. But the other thing I was going to say as well, and I don't know the specifics of your audience, but I know that when I was speaking into this space a lot more, I saw a lot of people not valuing the emotional side of things from a results perspective. You know, if we're speaking to our own well-being, so us as individuals, as human beings living a life, my perspective has always been that, yes, the goal is to have a baby, but when you arrive there, I don't want you to be heartbroken, emotionally depleted, have PTSD from your conception experience, you know, just be a shell of who you were before this began. Yes, you might have your baby in your arms, but that's when it begins. Like, that's the beginning, you know? So it's really important to take care of your emotional well-being from the point of view of self-preservation and caring for yourself through this potentially hardest thing you've ever been through in your life, to prepare yourself for motherhood. But the other part of it is, and you guys would definitely be able to speak to this more, is the impacts of stress on your body, and then the impact of that on your fertility is huge. I had clients when I was coaching, and there are many of them, who had been trying to get pregnant for upwards of 8 years, and within 6 to 12 months of working with me, conceived. Mm-hmm. I'm just so done with people not understanding that our emotional well-being is just as important as our physical well-being. It has such a huge impact on how we feel as a whole, how our body, you know, uptakes nutrients, like what our stress levels feel like, what our gut's doing, how our bowel's moving, and all of that impacts our fertility. Like, it's not just about have a bath and you'll feel lovely. It's like, no, this actually matters for your biochemistry.
Yeah, it is so powerful in that. And I bang on about this in clinic too. We can't have one without the other. There's the emotional and the physical are intertwined. It's this beautiful dance of synchronicities, and we need to really harness that. And I think one of the hardest things when you're in that conception journey is when, you know, the well-meaning good person over here says, don't stress and you'll fall pregnant. Go on that holiday. Go on that holiday and you'll fall pregnant. You'll do it. Don't worry. Or you may go through a pregnancy loss. Oh, at least you got pregnant. At least you know your body can get pregnant. And all of these comments that always come into that whole space. And us as practitioners, and especially for you, Kate, being in that emotional journey with your clients as well, I think it's about really diving in deep into the understanding of the emotional. And it's not just about don't stress and you'll fall pregnant. It's about how's your body responding to that on a physical level, and what can we do to nurture and nourish you to be, I guess, to go through this experience seamlessly. It's always going to have big road bumps and all the rest of it, but as seamlessly as possible for your postpartum outcomes as well, like what you were mentioning. So how would you navigate, I guess, those comments and that how that impacts, I guess, an individual on an extended conception journey?
Yeah. I feel like that's a really good question. And I think I can share my story a little bit to help. Help to speak into this. So as I said, I have a son who is six. It took us 5 years to conceive him. And that 5-year journey looked like attempting natural conception first. I did know that I had endometriosis. So as I said before, I was diagnosed with that a couple of weeks after we got engaged. And that was kind of the beginning of my emotional, spiritual growth as a human being, and also understanding my body on a deeper level. So that actual diagnosis was quite a traumatic experience. I had woken up really early in the morning and I was experiencing excruciating pain, which I later found out was a rupturing cyst. And they had to do emergency surgery to remove it because there was a big fear of torsion. And when they removed the cyst, it was on my left ovary and it was 10 centimeters. And they had to take a large portion of my left ovary with it. So, you know, that's traumatic for anyone. That's obviously a really big thing to go through. And I know that there are women who have been through similar versions of that and their own versions of, you know, a traumatic diagnosis and surgery or whatever that might look like. And so for me, firstly, I put my head in the sand for a little while, wanted to do my pretty wedding, which I did, Pinterest wedding at the time, which was very fun. And then after that, I was like, okay, what happened there? You know, what was that? And I started this journey of working on my health. And, you know, it's been a long ride. But during that time, we tried to conceive for a couple of years. And, you know, we were obviously getting the questions at the wedding, like, when are you going to have babies? And, you know, we all know. And, you know, this is a long time ago. There was less being spoken into this space. And I didn't really have the, I didn't really have the verbiage to speak to that. I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe one day. And over time, as our journey went on longer, obviously the questions got more and I got plenty of what, like, you just need to relax. Like when you relax, it will happen. And my friend Susan's neighbor from down the street, her dog's brother's cousin, when they went to Fiji, they finally fell pregnant. And I was like, yay for them. Yeah, it was great. But what I realized is that when people said that to me, it obviously was irritating and it was very triggering. And I had to make a decision whether I was going to be triggered by that anymore, because I was working so hard on my emotional well-being that dysregulating myself, I was becoming such a protector of dysregulation. I was like, I had this, you know, I was really protecting my emotional well-being. And when people would say things like that, it would make me so angry, and I would go home and I'd be frustrated and it would dysregulate me. And I was like, I can't let this bother me in this way. And so I asked myself, why are people saying this? And, you know, I was like, well, because they care. They care about me. It's people who do care about me who are saying it. And they don't have a lived experience and they're trying to help and they don't know how to help. And they think that that's helping. And like, you know what? I'm just going to choose love and compassion to them. And I just say, thank you. And for me, that was really supportive. It really helped me to be like, you know what, it's coming from a good place within them, and that's fine, but they have no fucking idea. And that's okay. Like, that's fine. I can decide that for my own well-being because that's their stuff.
Yes.
So that was really helpful. But another tactic that I used to share a lot with my clients, and you can apply this in lots of different ways, is writing a letter to somebody who has triggered you and then like ripping it up and putting it in the bin or burning it or whatever and getting it off your chest. Because if you're finding that, you know, if you're listening to me say that of like, you need to send them love and peace, and you're like, this girl's really annoying, that's so fine. You don't have to be in that place. You know, that was just what worked for me. But the key thing here is if it's triggering you and it's causing dis-ease in your body and your emotional well-being and it's stopping you from feeling regulated, then we need to get that out of you. And a really healthy way to do that is to write it down. And then, you know, it doesn't matter what you write in those situations. It's a cleansing practice. And an analogy I used to share, which is no longer true because Catherine made me do this, is she knows where I'm going, is that when we take a poo, we don't go through it and inspect it and look through it and like inspect the shit, right? And I don't want you to do that when you are journaling. When you're getting stuff off your chest, get the shit out. You don't need it. Get rid of it. You don't need to understand what it meant, where it come from, what it's about, any of that. You know, it's a cleansing practice as opposed to an intention setting or something like that. So that's also a really empowering tool that you can use if you're finding yourself getting triggered by people's unwanted advice. And, you know, the thing is here is what I care about is your emotional well-being when you're going through this. And you need to do what protects you. You don't need to be kind to people when they say that. But if being firm and being unkind to them is dysregulating for you, then it's not the right choice. We need to find the choice to process our emotions that is soothing for us and feels good in our body. Like that's what the aim is here, is for your body to feel calm and safe and, you know, at ease. And so exploring what that could look like is really supportive. But to kind of wind it back to my story, we went through this journey of trying to conceive naturally, and then eventually we went into IVF. And through that, people were constantly saying to me, you know, I hated them. Like, when you relax, it'll happen. You know, just relax and it will happen. I'm like, how can I relax? I am literally on this schedule. I know exactly what I should eat, when I should eat it, what medication I'm taking. I've got to wake up early and get a blood test before you're even out of bed. Like, you know, this is costing us thousands of dollars. Like, I can't relax. There's a lot of pressure here. And, you know, while I'm doing all the things to care for myself, this is a lot. Like being relaxed in a assisted fertility cycle, it's just absurd. You know, like we just do our best to come back to regulation as much as we can, but it's not a relaxing experience. Like a relaxing experience is going to the spa, and that's not what we're doing. So yeah, so I was very, I did find that very challenging. And we actually got to a point after a few cycles we conceived and had a early miscarriage, and then we'd basically gone through all of our embryos and I wasn't pregnant. And I went to my husband and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like it was pulling me apart. And he looked at me and he just had this like face of relief. He was like, thank God, I just can't see you go through this again. And so what we did is we decided to take a break. We decided to take 6 months of not trying to get pregnant. We weren't going to talk about it. It wasn't a topic of conversation. We weren't saving for it. It was just, we need to park this. And I put a reminder in my phone at that 6 month mark of when that goes off. Okay, then let's have a conversation about our next steps. But we had decided we needed a break. And so in that time, just the way that it worked, we ended up taking two or three holidays. It's a while ago now. We ended up taking two or three holidays. And I also did my yoga teacher training for the first time. I've since done it again. And I just let myself have some space. You know, we were about 4 years into our journey then. So it was, you know, I was very fatigued. And it was what we needed. We both really needed that space and to just kind of let that fall away. And I fell pregnant. So that's our story. And it's, I hated the people who would say that to me. And it was really, really triggering. Like, I was like, how can that possibly be? Like, how? Like, I need to be doing all the things. And for me, it was obviously I just needed to take that pressure off. But I also choose to believe that there is a divine part of this, that, you know, I'm a very big believer in astrology and also human design. And I really see that as, you know, our imprint on Earth and why we land here. And I believe that our babies choose the moment to land here based on the path that they live for their life. It's not about us when they get here. It's about them. You know, if you think about, for example, if you resonate with your star sign and like what that means for who you are and all of those things, I choose to believe that it's, you know, it's like a trilogy between the mother, the father, or, you know, if there's a donor situation, the energy of that, and also the baby. You know, it's not 80% mum and, you know, 20% baby. It's, I really see it as a partnership or like a trilogy between the three of you. And when it's meant to be, it will be. And that's, you know, that's obviously been true for my life. And I went on to have a beautiful pregnancy and birth. And, you know, I'm very blessed and grateful to have our little miracle boy, especially the longer it goes on with wanting to have another. But I think that the biggest thing through all of that I learned is that at the end of the day, it's me, you know, like I am the person who needs to take care of me. And if I'm not doing that, I have met myself in the depths and in the dark, and it's awful. And I'm like, I respect myself too much to let myself go there. And, you know, I say this, you know, knowing that there are women in your community who are going through similar things. I see and love you enough to know that you don't want to go there yourself either, and you shouldn't. And so you're important, and how you feel is important, and it's important every step of the way. And it's okay to do things on your schedule. You're not missing out. You know, if your baby is destined for you, you're not going to miss them. They'll come to you. So yeah, that's a big answer to your question, Catherine. I don't even remember what it was.
I'm starting to tear up. Like, you just got me really emotional.
It's because you know, right? Like, there's a resonance in that of knowing, you know, I feel connected to, like, I feel connected to another baby. I know there is another baby for our family, and I want that baby now, but I also know it's not yet, and that's okay. Like, you know, it feels like it's a girl to me, and I felt Flynn before he came. And I just choose to believe that what's meant for me can't miss me. You know, if I need time to restore and rebuild, that baby isn't going to be given to someone else. You know, it's just sitting there patiently in the stars waiting, and at the perfect moment it will come.
It's so empowering. I've got goosebumps everywhere listening to you talk, Kate, because we've never had someone articulate this so incredibly beautifully. It's empowering as a person in, like obviously speaking from my own experience, I don't talk about it a lot, but an extended conception journey myself, and listening to you talk and how, you know, that's triggered these emotions in me, but from this beautiful place of empowerment, you know, and like, I so wholeheartedly believe my little baby's in the stars too, and it's going to come through at the right time. But it's just, you know, you're in that 2 week wait, and all the emotions are there, and you're processing it, and then your period arrives, and then you're like, all right, it's back in the follicular phase. And I'm so into my hormones. I know the hormones well than anyone. So I'm like, let's get shit done. Let's do this. I'm go, go, go. I know I'm going to ovulate in 2 weeks. So, you know, for me, it's like this process. Mm. And so for so many people, it's like, let's just tick that phase off the box, got through my period. Now we're in ovulation, and let's try again. And then you're back in here. So I think listening to all your tools and techniques and just your words around the self-care, that empowering yourself to kind of take ownership over your emotions and really honor yourself in those feelings, but honor yourself that, like, it's there and you have to take back that ownership in your emotional well-being is just profound. Yeah.
We don't need to be scared of our emotions. And I feel like the most important thing I can share around your emotions is When we feel like we're stuck in an emotion, it's because we're not facing it. When we face an emotion, it moves. So if you imagine an emotion to be like a wave and you start coming up the wave, you start to feel this intensity of, say, it's like, say it's anger. And, you know, I really relate to that. For me, I would get really angry. It would make me angry that I would see people fall pregnant so easily, you know, and it wasn't happening for me. Anger was a big one. So say you're starting to feel anger. It's coming up this wave or like a mountain. You're coming up the side of it. And it starts to get really intense. Like the peak is full body consumed of like, I am raging. You know, you start to feel that and you're like, oh God, I don't have time for this right now. This is too much. And you back down the mountain. What happens with that emotion is we store it. So unless we face it, it's not processed. But what we don't realize is when it gets to its most intense, we're almost through it. We're almost over the other side. And so if you can give yourself space and grace to sit with that, and we can't always, you know, sometimes it comes on while we're at the supermarket or, you know, we're doing something where it's not actually safe for us to be in that place where we're honoring our emotions. But when you can, allow it to move through you, cry, punch a pillow, scream, you know, let it out, and then it's gone. And it's like this beautiful sense of relief when it moves through you and you're like, whoa, I processed that. It's when we get stuck and we stop and we don't let it keep moving, we don't allow the energy in motion, which is what emotion is, that's when we feel so stuck in our life and we feel disempowered and like a victim of our emotions and our experience. It's when we take back our power and we allow ourselves to feel it, because emotions are a part of the human experience. They don't need to be, we don't need to be scared of them. We just need to know how to work with them. When we allow that, it's so empowering the first time you do it, because there is this beautiful sense of relief and calm on the other side of processing a big emotion. It's like the, you know how like sometimes you see the beach in the morning, there's no wind and it's like glassy and the sun is like glowing. It's like that. That's what it feels like. It's this like, oh, like it's just this exhale. And, you know, if you can allow yourself to do that and lean on the tools that support you, you know, maybe it's breathing through it. Maybe you have got a coach. Maybe you've got a conception coach. Maybe you are meditating. Maybe you're journaling and that brings you that ease on the other side of it. It's just knowing what tools work for you. And it's so empowering when you have that, because, you know, you don't need to be scared. You're like, oh, I know what to do with this. And if we know what to do, we feel empowered. We're in our power. So yeah, I think that there's a lot to be said for doing the work on understanding how to support your emotional well-being. It's life-changing.
I feel like it's something that we're forever teaching the next generation, but we skip over for ourselves.
Yes.
Like, and it's like such that's a big focus.
It shows up in parenting. If you don't process it and learn how to work with it, you watch it in your children. And if you are somebody who tries to escape emotion, you will teach your children to escape emotion. You know, avoidance, distraction, you know, there's a lot of power in just being able to sit with it.
It's beautiful as well, learning these techniques when you need them most, because when you do conceive, it's not all going to go away. You are going to need that throughout your entire pregnancy, into birth and into postpartum. And so, yeah, it's something that doesn't just go away because you've now conceived, you know?
And it also doesn't just start because you're trying to conceive. You know, the conception experience is an invitation to go deeper into who you are, to become, you know, more connected to your truth as a human being. We have emotions. Every single human has emotional waves from the moment they're born till the moment they die. You know, this is just, for me, this was my, you know, the feeling of feeling out of control of my conception journey was my opportunity to look at why I needed to control everything. And it was my moment to be like, you know what? The way I have been living actually hasn't been serving me. You know, I have had anxiety. You know, I have had gut issues. You know, is this because I don't know how to deal with my emotions? And so, okay, I'm going to take this in front of me and I'm going to work with it. You know, it's so much more empowering. The conception journey can be so disempowering. You know, even people saying like, I'm so sorry you're going through this. Like, it's nice to be validated, but also like, you know, it's just a thing that's happening in your life, and you need to work with how you can support yourself through that. You know, it's a thing that is happening in your life. Every single person experiences challenges in one way or another. You know, my best friend, she conceived in a second with somebody who she's not with on like a, you know, they were just having a fun night, and she's the same age as me, but she like longs and aches for the love of her life. And I met my husband at Billy's Beach House when I was 19, and we've been together for 17 years, and I love him with all of myself, you know, but conception has been my hard thing. And we all have, you know, nobody escapes that. And if, you know, if you think, if you know anyone who is like that, I can guarantee they create drama in their lives, because, you know, part of the human experience is to grow. So, you know, if you're not experiencing challenges, you're not growing. And so they create drama because, you know, it makes it feel like there's meaning. So, yeah. Mm. But one thing I just wanted to come back to that I forgot to say before, Catherine, when you were talking about that, like your period starts and you're like, okay, I'm not pregnant, like preparing next cycle, let's go. Something I used to always encourage my clients to do is to take day one to be with your emotions. That's the day, and this might not align from a nutritional perspective, but this was the day where actually, no, you're not, I feel like you're not hard out with this kind of stuff. Day one is the day you're allowed to eat chocolate. You're allowed to get hot chips. Like, you're allowed to lay on the couch. You're allowed to hate the world. You're allowed to, whatever you need to do, you can binge watch The Real Housewives. Like, whatever you want to do, you're allowed on day one. And then on day two, you get up, you have a shower, you get back to your practices, and you prepare yourself for what's next. And that's just like the ritual of like closing out the cycle, allowing that to be processed, to move through you, giving yourself space to do your journaling, to cry, like just allowing all of that out of the body. And then it's like, okay, from day two, you're allowed to, like, that's when you're allowed to like get into it. But before that, you need to just give yourself that moment.
I love that, Kate, because you're so right. I practice that in clinic. I'm like, especially in the fertility, because obviously I work a lot in preconception care because that is my absolute core passion. And or if you get the negative pregnancy test, it's like, allow that day to be your day to feel, to go inward, to eat the chocolate. I don't care if you want to go eat KFC, go do it. I don't care what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's your day for you to just get into whatever you need to process. And because a lot of the times too, I feel like day one of the bleed, I've had my clients are grieving a few days before them because they've got the negative pregnancy test. And that kind of starts that next cycle even before the bleed has even begun, because in their head they're like, okay, well, I'm not pregnant. I'm in the grieving process. I have to wait for my period. But then the period comes and then it's just like, great, now I'm happy again because I get to start the next cycle. It's a really interesting like shift in perspective. Have you got any words around that?
I think the most important thing is that, as you said, you're taking time to process it, you know, and it's just, it's really honoring yourself and what that looks like, you know, getting a negative pregnancy test after you have been doing the things, you know, you've been doing the things, and I'm talking from like nutritional, spiritual, like overall well-being, like social perspective. If you've been doing all that for 6-12 months and you still got a negative pregnancy test, that sucks. Like, that is not a nice feeling. And I don't want anyone to think they have to rush through that. You know, you are better off to process that when you are there and in it, and just let yourself, like, the, you know, I feel like I just on the days where I would get my cycle, and I would really try not to test, but sometimes I would just be like, huh, like all day, like, oh, poor me. Like, I would just mope around the house, or like, and I just let myself be like that. And it just helps you to get it out of your body so you can start clear. You know, if you genuinely don't have big emotions to process around that, and some people are more emotional than others, if you genuinely don't, and within an hour you feel regulated, like, that's great to honor you. But for most of us, we need a little bit more to process that, and giving yourself that space, whether it's when you get a negative test or, you know, when you get your period, it's really important to honor that and close out that cycle, tie the bow around it, and just let yourself have that. You know, it's also a great excuse to just lay on the couch. Like, Why would we not want to do that? Just have like a day off from the world, you know? Don't do anything. Don't text anyone. Don't show up for anything. Cancel whatever plans you can. And yeah, just give yourself that space because it means you're not carrying that with you. You know, you're not carrying that little piece of grief is not coming with you into the next cycle. You're processing it, you're moving through it, you're letting it out, and then you can start as clear as possible with what comes next.
Kate, I want to ask a question from the other side. So, when I say the other side, meaning somebody who's not in their fertility journey and is with somebody going through a fertility journey, so has a friend. And, Cappy, I hope you don't mind using you and I as an example. But our listeners know Cappy is in her fertility journey. Now, Cappy and I speak every single day, all day long on voice notes. And I know Cappy's cycle inside and out. I know when she's ovulating. I know when she's in her two week wait, and I know when her period is coming.
I think she's ovulating when she's dancing in her swimmers.
No. That's when she's at the beginning of her phase. But so, you know, Cappy and I, yeah, we talk a lot, and I do know her cycle, and I'm there for her, holding her virtual hand the whole way through this, because unfortunately we're in different states. And often Cappy will message me and say, I've just got my period, you know, and she'll express how she feels. And there's often times where I just say, that's so shit. Like, I've actually just got no words for you, but I'm here for you. And I do find myself, and Cappy knows this, I often find myself not knowing what to say. And we've spoken a little bit about the shitty comments that do come in your fertility, you know, such as, oh, when are you going to start trying? And, you know, when's a baby coming? And all of those kind of, oh, you'll be right, you'll get pregnant soon, just stress less, those kind of things. We've mentioned it, right? What is helpful for somebody listening who has somebody going through their fertility journey in terms of how they hold space for that person, and what comments would be beneficial?
I mean, Catherine can speak to her own experience here, but I feel like what you said is literally the perfect thing for a friend to say. You know, we choose who we invite in close quarters of our conception journey, and those people have a very sacred place. You know, that is a very important role to hold, to be invited into that space of a conception journey, because for the majority, well, actually, it might not, it might not even be the majority of the population these days, but for the majority of the population is what I was going to say. It's just the couple trying to conceive who we on that journey. But once we go down this path where it takes longer, we invite more people in, and it's a sacred place to hold. And I think, you know, coming to it from a place of love and reverence is really important, which it sounds like you do. And often it's not about having a lot to say. You know, I know for me personally, I don't need solutions. I don't need, you know, guidance. I don't need other stories. I just need validation and love from my best friends. You know, like, this is really shitty that you're going through that, and I hate that this is happening, and I love you. Mm-hmm. Like, I know for me that goes a long way. And I can see Catherine's like, yep, I agree. Yeah.
And that's it, Kate. You know, it's not about solutions or the silver lining or just saying, you know, offering advice. It's just like, thank you for just listening and sitting in it with me for a little bit. And then that's it, you know, it's.
And that's the emotional support team, right? So, you know, because you guys have overlap in that you are both, you know, professionals in the nutrition space, there will be times, I'm sure, where Catherine bounces ideas or you're talking about different things. And so that's a different conversation. Of like, hey, I just got these results back, for example, and, you know, can you help me just like run through this? Or I was just thinking this, what do you reckon? That is a different conversation. That is asking for advice. That is asking for guidance, right? So in that perspective, we have, for example, our nutrition, biochemical, you know, that realm of support. We may have a doctor or a fertility specialist and that type of support. We may have an acupuncturist and that type of support. And then the next thing I want everyone to think about is, who is your emotional support? And so in this case, you are Catherine's emotional support. And so in that role, you are there to support her emotional well-being. You're not there to give advice. You're there to help her process her emotions, to feel like her emotions are valid, to feel like she has someone to go to if she needs to talk about how she feels. That's the role of a friend, I believe. And it can be really important to kind of have that conversation, you know, and this isn't the role of all your friends. Like, honestly, there's probably one friend for most of the people who are experiencing this that you let in fully into the circle of what's going on with conception. You know, it's not the whole friend group that it's like up for conversation at dinner or whatever. It's more of an intimate connection. And so, you know, in that case, what is the role of an emotional support? You know, it's to hold that space, to validate, to share love and kindness. And, you know, I think that that's the most important thing you can do as a friend who has been invited into that really intense journey.
Because I think being a friend often, and we're just like it as humans, we want to give advice, you know, we want to find the silver lining. And as you said, it's just not the time or place if you haven't been asked for those things.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a thing as well. Like watching your friend go through this is really hard. You know, like you, like Shelley, you know, and obviously I'm just speaking to you guys as the example here. But I know that like listeners will have their own version of this. It's important that you're processing your emotions too around watching Catherine go through this, because it's hard. It's hard watching someone you love go through something really challenging, whether it's conception or something else. But the most important thing that we can do is be available for them. And so, you know, this is where self-care comes in for you, Shelley, of like, how am I processing how I feel about what Catherine's going through? And, you know, so you're not bringing that, you know, because that's the thing that we can do is if we're feeling overwhelmed, and actually, like, I have the most gorgeous mother. She is such a sweet, like, loving, maternal woman, but she doesn't process her emotions and she brings them to me. Especially like on our conception journey. And she will listen to this because she's a sweetheart. And she listens to everything I do. But, you know, it's overwhelming for us to watch the people we love go through hard things. And I think, you know, when someone is burdened with a lot, you know, the conception journey is a lot, it's important that we don't dump our emotions on them. You know, which I'm not saying you're doing that. I just think, you know, when we love someone so much and we want to help and all of those things and we feel something about it, it's really powerful to look at like, what is it that I feel about that? You know, is it that I feel powerless or helpless, or it's really hard for me to not try and fix this for her because I feel something? And so how can I work through that feeling that I have so I can actually be emotionally available for her, which is what she needs more than anything?
Love that. I've got your sister, but I've got some work to do. I want to cry just listening to Kate talking about
it. I'm sorry for making everyone cry.
It's almost taboo, right? And I wasn't going to say that word, but I like getting into the really nitty gritty. You know, I'm here to kind of break through the BS, and I feel like conception, and you know, it is taboo. People are too scared to talk about it, and I think because it's so sensitive and you don't want to say the wrong thing, but you don't want to overstep the mark and maybe give a silver lining or whatever that looks like. It's like,
do you know what's like a really great thing to say if you don't know what to say? I don't know what to say. This is really hard seeing you like this. I love you. How can I help you? What can I do for you? We don't need to pretend we know what to say. And this goes for everything. Like, I have a friend who's going through cancer treatment right now. I don't know what to say to her. I've got no lived experience of that. I don't know what that experience is like. But if I'm open and honest about, you know, I don't know what to say here, but I'm available, I am here for you, if there's something I can do, tell me. Like, that is so much more empowering, because there is no magical thing that anyone can say that will take away how, you know, there's nothing I can say that will make you go, oh, it doesn't hurt anymore. There's nothing. So we don't need to look for that, because it doesn't exist. You know, what takes away pain is like resonance and connection and, you know, processing and holding space. Like, that's what helps us. And it's not actually taking away the pain. It's moving through it and riding it. You know, we can't take it away. So it's like a waste of our energy trying to. It's like where we can meet someone is with what, you know, with what they're experiencing and be with them, you know.
I hope one day you return to this space, Kate, because you're epic.
Oh, thank you. I'm actually, I've only shared this very, I've shared it with one of my close friends and my husband, but I feel like we're in a space to be up for me to be able to share. I'm actually working on a new project. I'm writing a book, and it is a collection of stories of mothers. So I am meeting with women and they're sharing their stories with me and I'm writing them. And it's going to be, I've just started to land on the name, but the idea is that it will be medicine in the stories, like a beautiful gift that you can share with other women of the real stuff we go through as women in the world, navigating all of this and trying to show up for ourselves and our families. And yeah, there's not going to be anyone Insta famous in it. It's like women who live in the mountains around me, who I see, who I know that they have richness in what they've navigated. And yeah. Yeah. It's coming.
Got goosebumps again. Kate, all the feels, darling, all the feels.
Thank you. And I guess the other thing is too, like the podcast is there and I've got, there's about 100 episodes on there and I speak heaps to like, yeah, emotional support and building your team and practical tools and like, yeah, there's heaps on there for anyone who resonates with what I'm talking about.
Well, thank you so much. I think this is one of the best episodes for me, just listening to how well you articulate this space that we've maybe ever recorded. So
agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, guys.
The value that our listeners who are in this space and this journey are just going to get so much from it. Do you want to, just talk us through where our listeners can find you? I know you're not practicing or not working in this space, but if you'd like to share any details about where they can find you, or if you'd prefer not to, that's completely fine also.
Yeah, well, I'm on Instagram, so it's just Kate_Cattle, so just my name. And at the moment, I really feel like I'm in an intersection in my life. So it's kind of like a watch this space. Like, as I said, the book is beginning to come to life and that's something that's coming. But I also, like, you know, this is who I am. You guys have got a taste of who I am. I do speak a lot now about motherhood and, finding myself after all of the things that I've been through. And, you know, I recently bought a sewing machine and I've been creating and, you know, I share a lot of that on social media. So if you resonate with my outlook on life, then definitely come over to Instagram and follow me there. But if you really specifically want conception advice, support, tips, then definitely the podcast is a good place to go for that. Yeah, so you could just do like a deep scroll on Instagram also, and there's lots of content back there somewhere as well.
Amazing. We'll link everything below in the show notes so everyone can find you, because after listening to this, who won't want to go and do a deep dive?
Oh, thanks. Now I feel scared.
Better go click on your Instagram.
Edit my Instagram now.
Well, thank you so much again, Kate, for your words of wisdom and sharing all of your beautiful knowledge with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thank you for having me on. It was really nice to slip back into this space. It was lovely. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. That way we can continue to inspire and reach more mamas around the globe. If you would like to get in contact, request a guest or topic, then head to the No BS Approach to Motherhood Instagram page and send us a direct message. Otherwise, until next episode, stay sane, mama.